everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two live right here on this Wednesday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. 4 days out from Super Bowl Sunday and Super Bowl 59 between the Chiefs and the Eagles. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. We just checked in with our crew in New Orleans, taking in all the sights and sounds and festivities in the Big Easy on Radio Row. We'll check in once again with some more action from NOLA a little bit later on in the show. But, Joe, as we are just 4 days out, hour number two is a Super Bowl 59 primer. Now, we have looked at this game from just about every angle, from the actual X's and O's, the matchup advantages, coaches, players, units, whatever it may be. We have talked the numbers. We have talked player props. But now we have some fun in this second hour. Because one of the great things about a Super Bowl is not just, oh, will Travis Kelce go over or under 60.5 receiving yards, the props we are used to. There are so many prop markets available for a Super Bowl Sunday that differ from what we have each and every Sunday throughout an NFL season. We'll talk about that here in hour number two. We'll see if Bart Zinno has changed his stance on watching Super Bowl 59 come Sunday evening. A lot of fun in this second hour ahead.
I'm looking forward to it, man. Every time we get off the air on these shows, I figure out a few more props that, oh, that sounds good. You know what? I like that number. I'll go ahead and bet that. So, yeah, the list is growing, Ben, for the amount of prop bets that we have coming in on this Sunday.
And we hope that is the case for all of you. Either you hear something smart that Joe says and you say, all right, let me go bet that early. You hear something dumb that I say and you're like, let me go fade this guy Stevens and get a prop bet in right here, right now. Whatever it might be, we hope it drives you back to an action on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And of course, Joe, one of the most popular bets, I think, in any single football game, college or the NFL, any given time of a season, is a player to score a touchdown. Those anytime TD numbers. Total for this game, 48.5. Two of the five best defenses in the NFL all year long. So maybe, just maybe, we don't see a ton of scoring, but we are not going to see, more than likely, a 14-10 game that features a touchdown on either side. We should see some players find that end zone excellence in any time TD prices. But, Joe, only two guys for the Super Bowl 59 matchup as of right now have a minus money price. That's Saquon Barkley, Philadelphia's running back at minus 190, and the Eagles quarterback at minus 115. His name, Jalen Hurts. Travis Kelce, best price for anybody on Kansas City to hit pay dirt at plus 125.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what you would expect here, Ben, right? Because of the tush-push, Jalen Hurts, which, by the way, was one of our favorite in our pick six throughout the season, Ben. The anytime touchdown, if it wasn't broke, we weren't fixing it with Jalen Hurts. It was kind of an automatic bet because there was a stretch during the season where you can almost guarantee it here. So Hurts makes the most sense. I still think there's some value in that at minus 115 here, because I think you got a really good shot at that being an opportunity inside the 2 yard line there, 2 or 3 yard line, where guess what? They're going to be attempting Jalen Hurts and the tush push, and whether or not Kansas City can stop it remains to be seen. Although it doesn't really count that they stopped Buffalo, because I'm not sure what in the hell that was Buffalo was trying to do. That was not a very good variation of the tush push here. But I do think some of the other ones, namely Dallas Goedert, is interesting, to say the least. I think Worthy is interesting with these anytime touchdowns, because it can't just all be Barkley and Hurts, right? There's got to be a few other guys.
Absolutely so, Joe. So that was going to be my next question. We'll dive into that in just a moment. But it does make sense to see Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts in minus money. Each guy scored 3 rushing touchdowns in the NFC Championship game against the Commanders. Saquon scored 2 in the NFC Divisional Round victory for Philadelphia against the LA Rams. Now, let me just throw in this caveat. Saquon Barkley is having a historical and a record-setting season at the running back position, but not necessarily when it comes to rushing touchdowns. Joe, he is minus 190, and it makes a ton of sense. He has scored 5 times in the last 2 games for Philadelphia. His 6th and 7th games this year of having multiple rushing scores, of which we'll talk about in just a moment. But Saquon Barkley in the regular season only had 13 rush touchdowns, because in half of the games, 8 of the 16 he played, he did not hit pay dirt, especially early on during his time in an Eagles uniform. And oftentimes you would think a bell cow and the best running back in the NFL, if his team ever gets inside the 2-yard line, the 3-yard line, it is his number each and every time. It is quite the opposite in Philadelphia, where they look at Jalen Hurts. So if you want to lay minus 190 for Saquon Barkley, I am not going to fault you. It still does feel like if Philadelphia scores in this game, Saquon Barkley will be the one responsible for that TD. Just to say, it's not necessarily like he has scored 27 rushing touchdowns this year and is automatic in still doing so. But Joe, when you only have 2 guys in minus money, that means a ton of players on either side for Super Bowl 59 feature a plus money price. If you had to look at those plus money numbers to hit pay dirt, you mentioned Dallas Goedert, Xavier Worthy. Is that your primary focus for Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Travis Kelce, who will always be, as long as he's still playing, the go-to for Patrick Mahomes, certainly in the red zone. But I think, you know, we've watched Xavier Worthy grow up right before our eyes. He's become a great route runner. I think he's become a much better receiver than anything that we saw at Texas, which was really just let him run and try to throw it as far as you can. Much better. And I do think he's the next in line when Travis Kelce eventually moves on. I believe Xavier Worthy is going to be the go-to guy here for Patrick Mahomes. And I think he trusts them a lot. And I think at plus money, they are going to figure out a way, Andy Reid, to put the ball in the hands of their biggest playmakers. And he is their biggest playmaker. So him finding Perry Derrick, I like it at plus money.
You know who the guy on the longest touchdown streak is for Kansas City? That would be Kareem Hunt. And yet his number is only getting longer and longer for Super Bowl 59. I had seen it as short as plus 130 earlier this week. It's now plus 145. All to say, we don't expect a ton out of KC's rushing offense. We had the conversation yesterday. What do the Chiefs need on the ground to keep pace with Philadelphia? I still think Kareem Hunt could make some sense. It does sound kind of silly. Well, how many times do they get down to the 2-yard line or the 1-yard? You would be surprised how often it happens in the NFL that you will have those goal line opportunities at some stage of Super Bowl Sunday. We'll continue this on the other side of the break, but I mentioned it was Saquon Barkley. He has scored now 18 rushing touchdowns this year. He has scored in, let me do the quick math, 10 of the 19 games he has played this season for the Eagles. Over half. But, Joe, he is also, in seven of those 10 games, he has hit pay dirt, scored multiple rushing touchdowns. So if you think Saquon Barkley has that monumental game that we are kind of anticipating in Super Bowl 59 against Kansas City, might it make sense to go plus 280 for Barkley to score multiple touchdowns? We'll talk about the history of multiple touchdowns in recent Super Bowls because our producer extraordinaire and the man that was originally known as the stat man on the Spiz Grizz, Joe Friso, has given us some great information. That's next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As we try to find that pay dirt plus money for you, maybe it's not just one touchdown in Super Bowl 59. Could it be two? Maybe even three? In Super Bowl 57, 2 years ago, the same two teams squared off, Kansas City and Philadelphia. The Eagles quarterback, because of the tush push, Jalen Hurts, had three rushing touchdowns, becoming just the second player ever in a single Super Bowl alongside Denver's Terrell Davis to have three rushing touchdowns in one game. A historic performance. Seven times in a Super Bowl has a player had at least three total touchdowns. Davis Hurts, Jerry Rice twice, Ricky Waters, James White, and Roger Craig as well. Three total touchdowns, could be receiving plus rushing, could just be receiving touchdowns. Two touchdowns, Joe, has happened in six of the last 10 Super Bowls, done by seven players in Super Bowl 56. Both Cooper Kupp for L.A. and T. Higgins for Cincinnati had two receiving scores. All of this information that we are delivering here really given to us by our producer extraordinaire, Joe Friso. So, Ranieri, as you look at the guys that might be able to cross the pylon twice, is there a name you would highlight above all the rest?
I would think, and we've seen Saquon, Jalen Hurts, and you mentioned it, Kareem Hunt. They're not going to tush-push their way into the end zone there. Kareem Hunt will be the workhorse inside the five-yard line, Ben. We know that. He has had some success punching it in. He's been their go-to guy. So to me, for a prop like this, it's all about opportunities, right? Will you have enough opportunities in the game in order to cash this and give yourself a chance at it? And if you do, then the chances are we're going to have a number of different red zone opportunities. So the question is, are we talking about passing or are we talking about rushing? I think Jalen Hurts, I think Travis Kelce, I think Kareem Hunt are all quality options when it comes to at least two touchdowns or more in this game.
Absolutely so. Again, Jalen Hurts was barely mobile in the NFC Championship game against the Commanders, had 10 carries for only 16 yards, and still scored three times. That's why that plus 550 price could be rather intriguing. And I would just say, Joe, Saquon Barkley's numbers are expecting Saquon Barkley to have a continuing historic season in the first Super Bowl of his career. So if you are really going to bet Saquon Barkley, expecting him to match that expectation, then I do think at times it makes sense to try to find some plus money to really sprinkle on those alternate markets, if you will. For me, Saquon Barkley, not just his rushing yards, but if you think he has a big game, rushing plus receiving, and if that's the case, maybe it's not just a rushing touchdown, but a receiving score as well at plus 280. Again, he has played in 19 full games in his first year in Philadelphia. He has scored only 10 times in those 19 games, or in 10 of those 19 games, but seven of those 10 games he has hit pay dirt. He has done so at least twice. Any two-plus touchdown score, just one player to hit pay dirt at least twice, is minus 195. Again, as Joe Friso, the stat man, is showing us, it has happened in six of the last 10 Super Bowls, seven players have done so in those six Super Bowls in the last decade, dating back to Super Bowl 59, the matchup between the Patriots and the Seahawks. Now, let's talk about how these guys are going to hit Pater. Will it be a long play, an explosive play, a short play, knowing the tush-push could be key? How many guys are going to hit Pater in total? Might we see an aggressive two-point attempt? How about a two-point conversion? A first play touchdown for either team from their first play from the line of scrimmage, or perhaps a walk-off touchdown or a walk-off score at very least. Field goal in overtime, as we saw a season ago. A touchdown in OT, Patrick Mahomes to Mecole Hardman. Could it be a walk-off in regulation? Joe, the one that's really intriguing to me, again, we have a sample size based on the good work and the info from Joe Friso. Shortest touchdown, under a yard and a half. We have seen that happen in seven of our prior 10 Super Bowls, but I would just say the FanDuel Sportsbook also understands the trend that we have. If you want to bet the under, a yard or less to find Pater in Super Bowl 59, it's minus 192.
Yeah, you almost have to do it. There's a couple on here that should just be automatic, and they have been automatic for me for a while. The shortest TD under 1.5, yes, because inevitably, Ben, this is the last game, right? If you get beat in the end zone, guess what you're going to do as a defender? You're going to be holding, you're going to be scratching, you're going to be tackling guy, you're going to be doing whatever you got to do to make sure they don't catch the ball. There is going to be an opportunity from one of these teams at the 1 yard line, Ben. I can almost, you just have to bet it here. Granted, it's not what it once was from a price standpoint, but you feel like, yes, there's going to be a penalty in the end zone at some point with these teams getting to the red zone.
Yeah.
And they're going to get the ball at the 1 yard line. So, and at the same time, how are we not getting a 2-point attempt at some point, especially if a team is trailing in the game, in the second half? Very possible in this day and age that both these teams will have no choice but to go for a 2-point attempt at some time. And that too, Ben, at minus 110. Boy, that number used to be a lot bigger than that, that's for sure.
Five out of the last 10 Super Bowls, so half of our prior Super Bowls in the last decade, a team has attempted a two-point conversion. It's a plus 180 price, by the way, for that attempted two-point try to be successful and converted, which we have seen in three of the five Super Bowls in the last 10 years in which a two-point conversion was attempted. A little bit more on those numbers and some more fun props for Super Bowl Sunday, because that's what it should be about. Football is fun. We keep it rolling on the other side of the break here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're looking at the fun side of football for Super Bowl 59 and some of those unique props that you can't wager on throughout the entirety of an NFL season until the final game of each and every NFL season on Super Bowl Sunday. Joe, as we look at some of the longest touchdowns that we might see, just the longest score of the game, over under 34.5. Last year, short one, under just 21 yards, being the longest touchdown in Super Bowl 58 between the Chiefs and the Niners. But a year prior to that, Super Bowl 57, same two teams, of course, Kansas City and Philadelphia. An early opening half big play from Jalen Hurts to A.J. Brown, a 45-yard touchdown pass. In fact, a year prior to that, we saw a 75-yard touchdown. Do you think we see a big explosive play to hit Pater in Super Bowl 59 in just 4 days?
I think the public thinks there's going to be a big-time touchdown of over 34.5 yards.
Yeah,
I'm not that sure, Ben, because it is the legit one thing. Number one, we have not seen that explosiveness from Kansas City this year. In fact, we haven't seen a lot of very championship quality offense and stats from Kansas City this year, but yet here they are with a chance at winning another championship. And if I'm the Kansas City defense, man, the one thing I can't have happen is that you allow a touchdown of over 34 and a half yards to Barkley, AJ Brown, I mean, you name it. The one thing that can't happen for both these defenses is to give up those big, big plays, those explosive touchdowns. I trust both defenses because, again, they are the best units we talked about on the field for this game. I don't think they allow that to happen. I think they keep everything in front of them.
You would think that that play could very well happen for a guy in Saquon Barkley who has been a big play machine all year long. Now 7 rushing touchdowns of at least 60 yards this season, the most ever by a player in a single season in NFL history. Of course, it will be paramount and a focus of the defensive game plan for Steve Spagnuolo and Kansas City to make darn sure that does not happen on Sunday inside the Caesars Superdome. All right, let's have some even more fun. Might we see a safety in Super Bowl 59? 13-1 price. 9 safeties in Super Bowl history, not since Super Bowl 48, the matchup between the Seahawks and the Broncos. Opening kick, touchback or a fair catch now in the dynamic kickoff rules, minus 220. I would just say, if you can bet the plus money price for a small little pizza bet on that, Nico Remigio is making statements for Kansas City. We have the dynamic kickoff rules now. We have seen both Will Shipley and Cooper DeJean back there for Philadelphia. Joe, I would not be surprised, or at least I hope, we start Super Bowl Sunday with a little bit of fun from the very opening kick.
Yeah, I like that way of thinking there, Ben. I would definitely think we get some sort of run back on the opening kick. Why not? I also do think the safety is intriguing with these two defenses. Mm. But with these two quarterbacks and the way Philadelphia runs the ball, Mahomes is not getting tackled in the end zone, and neither is Jalen Hurts. So I would tend to think that is probably not a solid bet, not at 13-1 anyway. But the right. final play, Neil, is also interesting, isn't it? Even at minus 162, Ben, there's a pretty good opportunity that is exactly what's going to happen in this game.
We have seen that happen 4 times in the prior 10 Super Bowls, and technically when the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl against San Francisco way back in Super Bowl 54, I believe it was, should have been a kneel, but the Niners took a meaningless time out at the end, so Patrick Mahomes kind of scrambled around to eat up some clock. It is minus 162. The octopus at plus 1040, you might even be thinking, what is an octopus? It is a player to score a touchdown and a 2-point conversion on the same scoring possession. It has happened just once in Super Bowl history, our producer Joe Friso has told us, but with the same 2 teams in the same quarterback in action, Jalen Hurts in Super Bowl 57. A past Super Bowl score, same score as a previous Super Bowl, plus 440. How about a Super Bowl score, Agami? 25-1. To be a unique score in the biggest game of the season. I think I have frozen. I'm not so sure. More of the early lineup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The big question for the big game with our next guest is not what his favorite bet is or how he sees the market. Frankly, why should that matter? The big question for Mark Zeno is if he is going to watch Super Bowl 59. Working at a sports media network as a sports host for the biggest sporting event each and every season. So Mark Zeno, answer the question before we move on. Are you watching Super Bowl 59 come Sunday? Have your plans changed?
Hashtag not my Super Bowl. They have not. They are more entrenched. The kids and I have bowling, dinner, and the movies on. I have still rooting for the vortex, rooting for the sinkhole. I'd like a sewer pipe to burst underneath the Superdome and to look like Andy Shawshank, where everybody has to leave the stadium and the game doesn't get played. That's what I'm rooting for. So, yeah, we're going to bet on the game. We have some good looks. We got some real good angles. I just don't need to watch this stuff.
So what movie are you seeing on Sunday?
It's called Top Dog. It's like a kid's movie.
Oh.
Like Dog Man. Dog Man. Not Top Dog. Dog Man. It's a
Dog Man.
I don't know. I just, it was the one kid movie that was out there. So I bought the tickets. I'm like, you know, R-rated, PG-13. No. There we go. We'll take that one. It's a cartoon.
I can't even believe they have movie times around 6:37 p.m. Eastern time for Super Bowl Sunday.
And when I went to book the tickets, not a single seat in the theater was taken.
I'm shocked. Except the guy that works. Except the guy that works in sports media.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense. So whether it's the Top Dog or which man has that dog in him from Super Bowl Sundays, you know, we look at the odds right now for Super Bowl 59, because I'll give you a little bit of flack here. As you have said, you can still bet the game without having watched it because you have been following the National Football League all year long. Still very bitter at the Chiefs, I presume. They are still a point and a half favorite on FanDuel, -120 on the money line. Total still stands at 48.5. And the last time we spoke, Zeno, last week, have your thoughts on Super Bowl 59 changed at all as the market has shifted ever so slightly?
No, I mean, you know, at this point, I've given into the void, so to speak, that the Chiefs are going to win this game. Like, it's not where my bet is. Again, I think I told you guys, right after the championship games are over, in an angry manner, I just went in and bet the Eagles on the money line because I wanted the Chiefs to lose. So, but you know, again, when you're getting Patrick Mahomes at under a field goal, it typically means like that's the way to go. If you go look at the history and the numbers, that he's done really well there. I would argue too, though. I mean, I think it's, you know, worth it, and old school bettors will tell you you can't do this, and I would tell you, you know what, I can do whatever the hell I want with my money. But teasing the Eagles to +7.5 and the total down to 42.5, where 23-20 gets you home, is not a terrible proposition. You know, again, it's one of those things where it's not traditional, and people tell you don't tease totals. I don't care what they say. Do what you want with your money. But I think you get under a key number, semi-key number of 43, and clearly you clear 3, 4, and 7 to get to 7.5 with the Eagles. So it makes a lot of sense from that standpoint.
The more I look at this, you know, the more I think there's two outcomes that are possible here. One is the Chiefs do it again, last minute, win by 1 or 2, or the Eagles absolutely destroy the Chiefs here. I do not think there's any in between. So when you approach the prop betting market, which script are you kind of leaning towards here when betting?
Well, I mean, I think this game leads a lot more to the Chiefs having to throw a lot. To your point, Joe, like, if you think the Eagles are going to win, why just take +102 or +110, whatever it is, alt line it? You know, do a -4.5, -6, whatever it is, and expect them to win by a field goal. By the way, and I went back and looked this up. Through the first 58 Super Bowls, guys, the team that won is 49-6-3. Against the spread, right? So that means either the favorite covered 49 times or the dog, they won outright, right? So if the dog is winning outright, more often than not, they're actually, if you go look at the scores, they're winning by margin. So to Joe's point, if you're going to take the Eagles here, it's worth a little sprinkle on an alt line number just to get better value in return. But, you know, again, I think when it comes to Kansas City, I would look at Patrick Mahomes' attempts over. I would look at his completions over. I would look in that direction because I just don't think they're going to have a ton of success running the football. I think that there's a game script where, as Joe said, where even if the Eagles, even if the Chiefs, rather, are going to win this thing by a short margin, it's because they're coming back. Like, do we feel like the short margin that the Chiefs win by is, oh, they're up by 11 and a late touchdown brings it to within 3, right? Like, I don't know if that's the kind of game that materializes for Kansas City. So if it's Patrick Mahomes with the ball under 3 minutes left, going down the field and getting the go-ahead score, and that's kind of the way the Chiefs have won the entire year outside of, you know, blocked field goals and quarterbacks not paying attention to snaps and the referees making calls and everything else, but we won't get into that nonetheless. But that's how the Chiefs win.
And had there not been forward momentum at any time throughout this National Football League season. Who knows if the Chiefs are even playing in Super Bowl 59. Zeno, you said in a fit of anger, right? As soon as Championship Sunday came to a close, you bet Philadelphia. I do believe that based on your assessment of Kansas City this year, you think the Eagles are the more talented team. As we compare these rosters, as we compare these coaching staffs, as we compare the tail of the tape, where do you think the biggest matchup advantage or edge Philadelphia has over Kansas City for Super Bowl 59 is?
I mean, the obvious answer is Saquon, right? Nobody's been able to stop him, right? So, I mean, you don't have to look very far, but in the bigger picture, I would say the Eagles offense has a decided advantage over the KC defense, you know, comparatively to the Chiefs offense against the Eagles defense. I mean, look, you know, the Bills, okay, didn't even play their best game or close to their best game offensively in the AFC Championship game. Still put up 29, still had the ball with a chance to win it in the final couple of minutes of the game. The Eagles getting over their team total seems almost like a gift in this game. At 23.5, what am I – now you're seeing 24. It's moved up a little bit. But what are you even thinking about here with Philadelphia? I mean, do we believe there's a world where Philadelphia only scores 23? If there is, guess what? They've lost the Super Bowl. Because I don't think that there's a 23-20 win for the Eagles here. Could be totally wrong, but is anybody really expecting a defensive breakout? Odds makers posted this opening total, 48.5, 49. They're telling you, oh, by the way, these top defenses in the league, yet we're going to put this total near 50? Tells you all you need to know what odds makers think about where this game is going to be. It's going to be higher scoring. And if you're asking me which team is more likely to score, the Eagles start faster, they're better in the first half, and they can get over their team total a lot easier. In fact, they've scored more points on the road this year than they have at home.
How important is it? It's a great point, Mark. How important is it for the Eagles to be playing from in front in this game? And why not back them to have that lead at the break? Because it feels like they're going to need to be playing from in front.
Yeah, I mean, it's the game script that takes Saquon Barkley out of it. I mean, look, Saquon Barkley still has home run power, right? No matter, every time he touches the ball, there's a chance that he can break it and go. But guess what? If you're down 14-3, it's probably a little bit more methodical, and you're going to want to move the ball down the field. So as long as the Eagles keep within one score, Saquon's going to have the ability to run wild. But if somehow the Eagles make a mistake, they get a turnover, a defensive touchdown, special teams touchdown, whatever it is that swings everything in Kansas City's favor, it certainly limits the amount of times you're going to sit there and just hand off right, hand off left, hand off right, hand off left, around the end kind of deal. That's going to change the game script for Philadelphia. So that's the Chiefs' best chance to take Saquon out of the game, is to try to build a two-score lead early.
In Kansas City, as we know, 17 consecutive one-score victories. That's an NFL record, including a perfect 12-0 mark throughout this 2024 NFL season and into the playoffs. As you guys have alluded to, we saw the first half total, first half money line for a game's money line overall that is separated by 22 cents. I guess should not surprise anybody that it's a dead even pick'em. KC -110, the Philadelphia Eagles -110 on the other side. The prop market perspective with Mark Zeno for a game he is not going to watch, Super Bowl 59, and our breakdowns continue up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The prop primer for Super Bowl Sunday, now just 4 days away. When Zeno is watching Dogman, the rest of us will be wondering, how many yards is Saquon Barkley going to run for? Might Patrick Mahomes out-duel Jalen Hurts? Zeno will have to find out, I guess, come Monday morning. If you can't tell, having a very fun time with this narrative, Mark Zeno. Let's compare those quarterbacks, because again, as you have astutely said, you can still bet the Super Bowl. You have, of course, covered the NFL all year long, even if you do not watch the actual action play out. Patrick Mahomes' numbers on the left side of your screen. Jalen Hurts on the right. So, you know, although the Chiefs got the better of the Eagles in Super Bowl 57, in Mahomes was very efficient. 21 of 27, 182 through the air and 3 touchdowns, adding 44 rushing yards as well. I think the argument would be sound to say that Jalen Hurts outdueled him the first 2 times these two teams faced off in a Super Bowl with a generational performance out of Hurts. Do the Eagles need the same sort of performance, or at least Hurts, to win the quarterback battle on Sunday to hoist a Lombardi trophy?
I would argue if Jalen Hurts goes over his passing yards number, it's a bad recipe for the Eagles to win the game, because that means Saquon ain't doing much and they have to resort to the pass game. I mean, there's a world where they are both successful, as Joe pointed out before, that the Eagles could blow this team out. But yeah, and going back to that last graphic, I hadn't looked at Patrick Mahomes' rushing yards number, but that seems crazy high to me for him. For a guy who usually floats in the 12, 13, 14 kind of range on a week-in, week-out basis, we've seen him take off in this postseason, but that's an inflated number. And oh, by the way, if you think the Chiefs are going to win, watch Patrick Mahomes have 33 yards rushing and do one of those stupid kneel things that he always does where he walks 5 yards backwards at the end of the game and you end up losing it. So I would not take the over on Patrick Mahomes' rushing yards at all. But again, I look to the completion market and the attempts market more than anything for Patrick Mahomes. I feel like there's going to be a lot more throwing this game. Do we really believe that Kareem Hunt is going to have a ton of success against his Eagles front? I don't. I think he goes under his rushing yards prop at about 47.5, somewhere in that range, and it's forced Patrick Mahomes to throw a lot.
If I'm looking at the Eagles here, last week or 2 weeks ago, I am watching Cook just absolutely destroy this Kansas City defense running the ball. Mm-hmm. And if I'm Philadelphia, I'm watching that tape going, you got to be kidding me. In fact, outside of the Bills, I mean, really from about week 12 on, who in the hell did Kansas City play? Who did this defense play that can actually move the ball like Philadelphia?
I mean, I brought this up. Look, one of the props that I played this year in the Super Bowl was Patrick Mahomes to throw an interception. And the reason I did that, okay, one, Mahomes has not thrown an interception in 8 straight games. After starting out the season with 11 interceptions in the first 10 games, Patrick Mahomes hasn't thrown an interception since. The problem here is that this is a defense for Kansas City that, you know, you talk about the teams that they play, Joe, and that's where I'm going. They have not played a top 10 offense in weeks. In fact, the last top 10 offense they played in total offense was the Bills in a regular season. So the last run of teams that they had has been nothing. And they haven't really faced a ton of elite teams and a ton of elite offenses and defenses along the way. Obviously, you exclude the last game of the regular season against Denver when nobody played. But the point still being that, yes, Joe, they haven't really been pushed here on either side of the ball except for the Bills in the postseason.
29 points scored by Buffalo was the most KC had allowed with all of their starters out there in quite some time. And James Cook had a great day. 13 carries, 85 yards, multiple rushing touchdowns, nearly 50 receiving yards as well. You would think Saquon Barkley, both as a runner and a receiver, could equal those numbers. Those are his props for Super Bowl 59. Let's go to some pass catchers. Mark Zeno, and we'll start with KC's tight end, one of the most prolific postseason performers in NFL history. Of course, that is Travis Kelce. 6.5 receptions, 60.5 receiving yards, plus 125 to score a touchdown. Shortest price for anybody wearing a white Chiefs uniform on Sunday evening in New Orleans. Do you think those numbers are fitting, or might they be slightly inflated given the narrative around Travis Kelce?
You'd like to do some historical research here. All you have to do is go back the last 14 playoff games that Travis Kelce has played in, where he's had at least 5 receptions and at least 70 yards and a total of 14 touchdowns in 14 playoff games. Those numbers actually seem low to me, especially given the fact that Zach Ertz, an aging Zach Ertz, caught, what, 6 passes for 104 yards last week in the game against the Eagles defense. Yeah, it was a 9, somewhere in that range. But
11,
point simply, those – thank you, Ben. You knew you'd correct me. Those numbers actually seem a little bit low to me. And in those 14 games, by the way, where he had at least 70 yards, you're talking about, I think it's 8 100-yard games. So if you think Kelce is going to get over this number, again, this is like an alt-9 scenario for me, given the historical nature of what we've seen Kelce do. Take him over 80. Take him over 90, because there's a chance that if he's that involved in the game, he's not. Now, I actually look to Noah Gray here and over his receiving yards prop, because what has happened over the last couple of weeks, Noah Gray has been a ghost. For a guy in the beginning part of the year and a big part of the middle of the season, was a viable target where he caught at least, you know, had at least three targets in six or seven games. He's sort of been phased out of it. He went 9 of 11 weeks with at least 20 receiving yards throughout the middle of the season. He's been quiet for a couple of weeks. I think this is a spot where, again, the Eagles will focus on Kelce, and Vic Fangio will go, I'm not letting that guy beat me. So what does Noah Gray do? He gets to run around for one or two open receptions here, and I think that's the way I'd play that game.
Dallas Goedert for Philadelphia, by the way. Second highest receiving yards prop, now at 50.5. Devontae Smith, third highest number for the entirety of Super Bowl 59. That is A.J. Brown at 70.5. If Jalen Hurts even approaches his passing yards prop, Zeno, which Eagle are you targeting? 30 seconds in the segment.
I would actually take A.J. Brown's longest reception. He really hasn't had a chance to be targeted all that much throughout this postseason because of the way the game developed. But the one catch he has is usually about 25, 30 yards down the field.
45-yard touchdown against Kansas City in Super Bowl 57 in that opening half. Super Bowl MVP odds in Super Bowl 60 odds. That's next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Wednesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, the biggest Dogman fans you will ever find. Myself, Mark Zeno, and Joe Ranieri. Hope it's a box office smash. We'll certainly see an upgrade on Sunday night in the Atlanta, Georgia area. Anyways, Zeno, you have said multiple times in a fit of rage at the end of conference championship weekend in the NFL, you bet Philadelphia to win a Super Bowl. If that is the case, if the Eagles end the year atop the NFL as a Super Bowl champion, who would you bet on to win Super Bowl 59's MVP award?
Also in a fit of rage, I bet on Saquon Barkley to win the MVP, so there is that. But look, I mean, I think there's a world where Jalen Hurts is probably the smarter bet, given it'll always skew quarterbacks. You're getting longer odds than you are on Saquon, and they're still going to need Jalen Hurts to win the game. I mean, you know, in order for Saquon Barkley to win the MVP, he's going to have like at least 150 yards rushing, right? Like 108 yards rushing and a touchdown doesn't get you the MVP in this game, especially if Jalen Hurts runs for 50, pushes, has two push touchdowns, whatever it means. Like, it's just not going to be enough. So as much as, you know, Barkley can have a huge impact on this game, from a value standpoint, you're probably better off with the longer odds on Jalen Hurts if you think the Eagles win this game. Barkley does cap it off with an MVP. You're talking about maybe the greatest, if not the second greatest running back season ever in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, it's outside of the it's safe to say, right, though, Mark, if Kansas City wins this game, just give it to – I mean, just give it to Mahomes, right? I think the big question is, how does Philadelphia – win this game? Is there any scenario you see Kansas City wins and Mahomes isn't the MVP again?
Short of Travis Kelce having, you know, 170 yards receiving, there may be some voter fatigue. Look, Kansas City has like no weapons, none. Like, what sort of game from Xavier Worthy makes you believe that all of a sudden Wade won't win this thing without him? What sort of game from DeAndre Hopkins makes you feel like? That's just not the way their offense is constructed.
Yeah.
They spread the ball around way too much. Everybody's involved. That's how Andy Reid is so good, because he uses every knife in the drawer to stab you in the chest. I mean, that's kind of what his MO has been as a play call. So I look at this and I go, I don't know a way, unless there's a defensive player who turns the tide of a game that no one's looking at. You know, pick six by sort of a Larry Brown kind of deal.
Yeah.
The guy with two interceptions at big spots, one of them being a pick six. That's the only other way it doesn't go to Mahomes. Like, come on, Kareem Hunt, like, is he rushing for 130 yards in this game? That's just not the way the Chiefs' offense.
I don't think there's a lot of value in those Super Bowl MVP odds unless we get some weird kind of 13-10 defensive struggle where we see a couple of turnovers forced by a defensive star, maybe even a defensive touchdown. If this game plays out the way we expect, if Kansas City wins a third consecutive Super Bowl in their fourth in the last 6 years, then Patrick Mahomes, who has won the previous three MVP awards in the previous three Super Bowl victories for Kansas City, will probably get his fourth MVP nod. And if the Eagles win, it's probably a toss-up between Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts. But more than likely, Saquon would have the edge based on the narrative and this historical season. 30 yards away from surpassing Terrell Davis for the most combined rushing yards in a single season and the playoffs included. Super Bowl 60 odds are out, Mark Zeno. Might he be watching Super Bowl 60 at this time next year in San Francisco? Do you plan on, at this moment, Zeno, making a bet and looking at those odds and then being able to take in the action next February for Super Bowl 60?
As long as the Chiefs are in it, I'll be watching. So there is that. But look, you look at those odds.
They are the favorites.
To get the Lions right now at 10-1 is glorious.
Yeah.
Playoff loss the Lions went through sort of galvanized a team. I know they've lost a lot, but come on. For a Lions team that was less than 5-1 for the entire year to win this thing, to get them nearly double the price right now is a steal and something I would absolutely put a shekel on. The same thing with the Bills at plus 850. Those are prices that once the season kicks off are going to be long gone, and they won't come back unless they get to a major losing streak in a rut where they may not, you know, it's either they're all in or all out. If they get that major losing streak, they might not be a playoff team. So, but those are the two best odds that jumped off the page at me right there. And God willing, there'll be a Bills-Lions Super Bowl next year.
Yeah. We hope that you'll be watching Super Bowl 60 and not Dogman. But one thing we can say about Mark Zeno, that come Sunday night, he might be part dog, he might be part man, he is all hero. Dogman, premiering 7 p.m. Eastern time on Super Bowl Sunday, featuring Zeno and his family. Well, great work behind the scenes in those graphic productions. Zeno, enjoy your weekend, I guess. Hour three next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.